Hello and welcome to the Master of Demon Gorge podcast. Today we're talking about Li Heyong and Li Chunxu, father and son. Let's pick up where we left off last time. Last time, in my bid to learn more myself about the era in Chinese history known as the Five Dynasties and Ten Kingdoms, we talked about Zhu Wen, the former rebel turned Tang Dynasty general, turned usurper and founder of the Liang Dynasty, the first of the so-called Five Dynasties. As you may recall, Zhu Wen was in the end murdered by his own son. But before that could happen, Zhu Wen found a serious adversary in the former Tang provincial governor Li Heyong. And after Li Heyong died, Zhu Wen, and later his son, had to face his son, Li Chunxu. And in time, Li Chunxu would defeat Zhu Wen's son to establish the second of the Five Dynasties. This episode is about Li, father and son, Li Heyong and Li Chunxu. The Li family were not Han Chinese. They belonged to an ethnic group called Sha Tuo, which was one tribe within the Western Turkic Empire. Early during the Tang Dynasty, the Chinese had fought and defeated the Turkic Empire. Later, the Sha Tuo variously served Tang China and the Tibetan Empire. In the case of the Li family, in 869, Li Chunxu's grandfather, Li Heyong's father, originally named Zhu Ye Chixing, helped the Tang Empire suppress a rebellion. And for his services to the empire, the Tang Emperor granted him use of the imperial surname, Li. Zhu Ye Chixing became Li Guochang. And the family used Li as its surname ever since. Li Heyong was born in 856 AD, and then entered the army at just 15 years of age. And the Tang Dynasty had him serve as an officer over his own people, the Sha Tuo. In 878, so when he was 22, a famine broke out in the northern part of what is now Shanxi province. The military official overseeing the area took to drastically reducing the amount of food and other supplies provided to the troops. The angry soldiers rose up and killed him and supported Li Heyong as their leader. So at this point, Li Heyong became essentially a rebel against the Tang Dynasty. In 880, he killed another military governor and took the major city, Taiyuan. But soon thereafter, the Tang army defeated him, and he escaped into Tartar lands. But of course, a much more serious rebellion was spreading elsewhere in the empire, that of Huang Chao. So in 881, the Tang dynasty pardoned Li Heyong and his family for rebelling against the empire, bringing them back into the fold and sending Li Heyong to go and fight against Huang Chao. But even while agreeing to these terms and marching against Huang Chao, Li Heyong often behaved more like a warlord or even a bandit. He allowed his Sha Tuo followers to plunder civilians as they marched across China. In 882 and 883, though, he and his men fought Huang Chao's army repeatedly and won a number of victories. After Huang Chao withdrew from the erstwhile Tang capital, Chang'an, Li Heyong was rewarded with a military governorship. Then, in 884, he defeated Huang Chao again, an event that led to Huang Chao's suicide. Shortly after Li Heyong's victory over Huang Chao, Zhu Wen, from our last episode, who had also fought Huang Chao, invited him over for dinner. While Li Keyong was drunk, Zhu Wen attacked and very nearly killed him. Zhu Wen's people claimed that it was because, in his drunkenness, Li Keyong was very rude to his host. Whatever the reason, Li Keyong barely escaped with his life, and ever after, the Li and Zhu families were bitter enemies. In 885, the Tang Dynasty attacked the military governor Wang Chongrong. Wang Chongrong passed false intelligence to Li Keyong, claiming that some other military governors had befriended Zhu Wen and so now intended to destroy Li Keyong. Li Keyong relied on this information and attacked them. In the chaos of the fighting, Emperor Xizong of Tang escaped to the area called Fengxiang, and various armies burned down the capital city Chang'an for a second time after Huang Chao destroyed it just a few years ago. In 890, the Tang court under Zhu Wen's sway sent an army against Li Keyong. But Li Keyong won the fight, which paradoxically forced the Tang court to restore Li Keyong's title and position. In 895, when three warlords took Emperor Zhao Zong prisoner, Li Keyong defeated the three of them and rescued Zhao Zong. In 896, for his service, Emperor Zhao Zong granted Li Keyong the title of the King of Jing, Jing being the name at the time for the Shanxi area. Li Keyong and his arch-nemesis Zhu Wen were then locked in a multi-year struggle for supremacy, with Zhu Wen gradually gaining the upper hand. After the year 900, Zhu Wen had practical control of the Tang court. Li Keyong repeatedly tried to attack him and to free the emperor from his grasp, but to no avail. As we talked about last week, Zhu Wen proclaimed himself emperor in 907, formally ending the Tang dynasty. But Li Keyong continued to fly the Tang banner and to use the Tang calendar, refusing to acknowledge that it had ended. As we talked about last time, Li Keyong died the following year in 908, not in battle, although this was during continued fighting between him and Zhu Wen. So Li Keyong's son, Li Chunxu, took over. And let's back up and tell the story of the son. Li Chunxu was born in 885 to Li Keyong and his concubine, Lady Cao. From an early age, Li Chunxu showed facility with archery and riding, and his father loved him a great deal for the promise he showed. He apparently rode into battle with his father at only 10 years old during the war against the three generals who kidnapped the emperor in 895. He then visited the Tang emperor in the capital at that age, earning praise from Emperor Zhao Zong. And he grew up to be tall and handsome. More than just a warrior, he was fond of reading Spring and Autumn, the work of history written or edited by Confucius himself. He was also fond of music, dancing, and drama, particularly comedy. Today we'd say, great, a man of the arts. But in his time, it was considered somewhat unserious for a statesman to spend his time pursuing music and dance and theater. So these interests led to some unflattering whispers. In 902, as Zhu Wen twice attacked and laid siege to the Li family's capital, the city of Taiyuan, Li Keyong grew despondent. But his teenage son, Li Chunxu, comforted him, arguing that it was only a matter of time before Zhu Wen weakened and the Li family would get its chance. These words of encouragement from his young son restored Li Keyong's confidence. Then in 906, Zhu Wen attacked the military governor Liu Rengong. Liu Rengong sought aid from the Li family, but Liu Rengong had previously betrayed Li Keyong, and Li Keyong was still mad, so he refused. At this juncture, Li Chunxu pointed out to his father that most other military governors had by now sided with Zhu Wen. Only the Li family and Liu Rengong remained. If Liu Rengong were to be destroyed, then the Li family's position would also become untenable. Seeing that his son's analysis of realpolitik was correct, Li Keyong sent an army to attack the city of Luzhou, wresting it from Zhu Wen's control. The best defense, after all, is a good offense. So the sack of Luzhou meant that Liu Rengong was now also safe from Zhu Wen. But in 907, as he declared himself emperor, Zhu Wen sent an army against Luzhou to try to win it back, laying siege to that city. And then in 908, as mentioned, Li Keyong died. So Li Chunxu inherited his titles as the king of Jing and the military governor of the province. Zhu Wen had ended the Tang dynasty in 907, but since the Li family didn't recognize this dynastic change, they continued to operate as Tang officials. And while he lived, Li Keyong had adopted two other sons, both older than Li Chunxu. Now that Li Chunxu, as the true-born but younger son, had inherited the titles, these older adoptive sons were unhappy. Now they tried to talk their uncle, Li Keyong's younger brother, Li Kening, into plotting a coup. Li Chunxu saw them coming, though, and calmly countered their conspiracy, killing his uncle and adoptive brothers and consolidating his power. Only after he dealt with this domestic dissension did Li Chunxu lead an army out to lift the siege of Luzhou, thinking that Li Chunxu, at 23, was too green. Zhu Wen's soldiers underestimated him. Taking advantage of a great fog, Li Chunxu attacked and won a great victory, lifting the siege of Luzhou. In 910, Zhu Wen attacked two other warlords who hadn't bent the knee. They sought aid from Li Chunxu. Overruling his advisors, Li Chunxu decided to help them, forming an alliance with these warlords. In 911, their combined army defeated Zhu Wen's forces. These warlords afterward followed Li Chunxu's leadership. Remember how back in 906, Li Chunxu had convinced his father, Li Keyong, to rescue the warlord Liu Rengong? By 911, Liu Rengong had been overthrown and replaced by his own son, Liu Shouguang, who now became an enemy of the Li family in Jing. After initially styling himself the King of Yan, in 911, Liu Shouguang declared himself Emperor of the Yan Dynasty. Now Liu Chunxu led his allies in a war against him, and Liu Shouguang sought aid from the Liang Dynasty of Zhu Wen. Liu Chunxu defeated Zhu Wen, and it was after this battle that Zhu Wen's son murdered him, like we talked about last time. Then, in 913, his other son, Zhu Youzhen, murdered his brother and claimed the throne for himself. In that same year, Li Chunxu attacked the Yan and destroyed it, taking Liu Shouguang prisoner before returning to his capital, Taiyuan, in 914. Li Chunxu's reputation preceded him by this point. He did the thing, then, that dynasts often did, which was to get his underlings to urge him publicly to accept higher office. And he declined three times, as was customary, before accepting. But you may be surprised to hear that the office they pushed him to accept was not emperorship, but only that of a cabinet minister of the, at this point, notional Tang Dynasty. But in any event, he began to rule over a large portion of China in the name of the Tang Emperor. In 915, the Liang Emperor, Zhu Yuzhen, tried to reorganize a part of his territories, but doing so led to a rebellion within. Li Chunxu took advantage and took control of the rebellious territory. Then in 916, Li Chunxu launched another attack against the Liang. He was highly successful and took over much of the Liang's territories. Whereas the Liang used to enjoy the upper hand in this contest, now the situation was reversed. But in that same year, in the far north, the Khitan people, under their leader, Yelü Aboji, had created their own empire, later called the Liao Empire, or Liao Dynasty. If you remember your Song Dynasty history, you know that the Liao Empire was fated to last quite a while and to coexist with the later Song Dynasty. But for the time being, it became a force in the contest of the Five Dynasties and Ten Kingdoms. In 917, Khitan forces came south toward what is now Beijing, and the general in charge there sought Li Chunxu's help. Li Chunxu sent 70,000 men northward to protect Beijing, and succeeded in doing so. For the moment, the Khitan army withdrew into their homeland. With his northern flank pacified, in late 917, Li Chunxu attacked the Liang again. But this time, in 918, he met with defeat, and thousands of his troops were killed, including several senior generals. At the last moment, he managed to turn the situation around. But given the heavy losses, he was not able to conquer the Liang as he had hoped. The two sides continued fighting through 919 and 920 inconclusively. In 921 and 922, Li Chunxu had to head north and fight the Khitan again. Meanwhile, the Liang took advantage and took back some of its lost territory. In 923, at the urging of various other warlords, Li Chunxu finally proclaimed himself emperor. But instead of declaring his own dynasty, he claimed that his regime was merely a continuation of the Tang Dynasty. It was convenient that his grandfather had been awarded the imperial surname some decades earlier. Sure, this Li family had no relations with the Li family of the Tang Dynasty, by blood or by marriage. But Li Chunxu now insisted that he was their heir. Historians call his regime the latter Tang, to distinguish it from the earlier real Tang Dynasty. Now calling himself emperor, Li Chunxu attacked the Liang once more. This time he was quickly successful. By the end of the year, he had sacked the Liang capital. His nemesis, Zhu Yuzhen, committed suicide. Li Chunxu and his so-called Tang Dynasty appeared to have won. But Five Dynasties and Ten Kingdoms, remember? We're now on the second of the Five Dynasties that ruled northern China. But there were still these Ten Kingdoms in the south. Now that Li Chunxu seemed to have won, most of the southern kingdoms paid obeisance to him. Most, but not all. The kingdom of former Shu, located in today's Sichuan province, refused to bow down to him. So Li Chunxu began to consider conquering it. It helped his ambition that intelligence reports showed a great deal of misrule and discontent within the former Shu. But the former Shu was wary of the latter Tang dynasty and stationed many troops along the borders between the two. In 924, Li Chunxu made diplomatic overtures to the former Shu, pretending that he wanted to repair relations. The rulers of the former Shu fell for his ruse and removed many of the forces they had stationed on the border. In 925, Li Chunxu launched a massive attack against the former Shu. It was all over by the end of the year. The kingdom of the former Shu ceased to exist, and all the other kingdoms of the south feared for their own existence. But right as Li Chunxu was on top of the world, he began to make mistakes. He felt that he had spent his life fighting, and by now, at the age of 40, he ought to get a chance to enjoy himself. Remember how he liked the theater? Well, now he not only appeared in plays himself, but granted huge favors to actor friends, just because he liked their performances, to the point where one thespian began to take on political power, much to the annoyance of the mandarins. He also ordered his actor friends, as well as eunuchs, to find him as many beautiful women as possible, so that they basically went out and kidnapped over 1,000 women, many of them the wives and daughters of soldiers. He also began to give power back to the eunuchs, eunuchs who once wielded tremendous influence during the Tang Dynasty, but then lost that power when Zhu Wen massacred many of them. Again, this was hardly welcome. And he began to suspect the loyalty of his own generals and advisors. He killed his own younger brother, Li Chunyi. In light of all these missteps, a rebellion broke out. He sent his adoptive brother, Li Siyuan, to go and put down the rebellion. But to the surprise of them both, as soon as Li Siyuan reached the rebels, they claimed to support him for the throne. Li Siyuan conferred with his son-in-law, a man named Shi Jingtang, who would later become very important. Li Siyuan had previously had no intention of rebelling against his brother. But Shi Jingtang pointed out to him that by this point, even if he chose not to rebel, his brother would never believe in his innocence again. So Li Siyuan went with it, becoming the leader of the rebels and marching against his adoptive brother, Li Chunxu. Li Chunxu now led his own army out against his adoptive brother. Meanwhile, men loyal to his other brother, Li Chunyi, whom he had killed, also rebelled. In the confused battle that ensued, Li Chunxu was struck by an arrow and bled to death. An actor friend who had stayed by his side placed a musical instrument on his body and then cremated it. His adoptive brother, Li Siyuan, entered the capital city and proclaimed himself emperor. Thus ended the tumultuous life of Li Chunxu, emperor of the latter Tang, a great general, but a much worse ruler and administrator. Later, the Song Dynasty statesman Ouyang Xiu, in writing the history of the Five Dynasties, commented that Li Chunxu had just reached the apex of his life, and no other power in China could compete against him. And yet, he allowed a few dozen actors to destroy his government and lead to his demise, so that, in the end, he became a joke to his fellow Chinese. This has been MODG. Thank you for listening.